Triple M Footy is the number one football call on radio.
Footy's on the radio.
And your front row. Welcome to the Sunday Rub.
For McDonald's McCafe.
Triple M rocks footy.
Oh, I hope you're enjoying your Easter Sunday under the roof at Etihad Stadium. We've got a big game coming your way at 3:20 this afternoon. It is the Saints taking on the Collingwood Football Club. Massive 2.5 hour preview. Tex Walker is joining us very soon to tell us about his little mate Eddie Betts and just how good he is. Scotty Burns will join us from the Collingwood Footy Club and tell us whether Daniel Wells will play on Anzac Day. Jack Stephen from the St Kilda Football Club might have a discussion exactly how Paddy McCartan's going Roosie's story about the day that Fitzroy tried to sack the Zen Master. We've got the quiz, and we may have Ross Lyon, because I'm just hearing a conversation in the back of the box between aforementioned Paul Roos with Ross Lyon saying, we've got some big names on this show, you better join us. So looking forward to that. It is Easter, all the boys are here, and I was having a bit of a think on the way in about who would have done the most damage in the Easter egg department. And I look at Duck and I think, no, he's far too concerned about the way he looks, so he would have gone pretty easy. Hello to you, Ducky boy.
G'day, gentlemen, listeners. Good to be here, Howie. Beautiful Sunday morning. Hope everyone's had a beautiful Easter and enjoyed their eggs and their rabbits and everything else. And
that's it. And then I saw Schwatter and I thought, well, he probably can afford an Easter egg because he's probably ridden 190 k's this morning on the bike. Hello, Schwatter.
Afternoon, everybody. Not a single Easter egg for the weekend as opposed to my kids. The interesting thing about kids is they refuse to pick up three bits of clothing in their bedrooms. Mm. But 1,400 eggs, mate, they don't miss one.
And I looked to the man to my left in Jay-Z and I had concerns, Duck. I had concerns that this man might have really blown apart the Easter egg department, but apparently the kids are away and you've gone a bit... you've stayed away as well.
Yes, my kids are in Perth, Howie. So even better than Easter eggs, I actually had a sleep in for the first time in about 3 years. So that was blissful. But when you did say that, you had concerns about me. Oh, you blokes look down at my waistline.
Yes, well,
I felt your eyeballs gravitate onto my wide behind.
But and I turned to the Zen master behind me and I'm thinking, this is a man that's meditated this morning. He's done yoga. He's at peace. He hasn't had an Easter egg. But apparently this is a man with a very sweet tooth. Good afternoon to you, Roosie. And how hard did you hit the Easter egg?
Easter's a very, very good day. We had an Easter egg hunt. My boys are 21 and nearly 23. We had a team event this morning. It was Dylan and his two American mates, Team USA, although we renamed them Team at Puke because they all threw up this morning after a big night last night, against Tyler, Monique and Darcy. So there's some pretty strict rules. They had a basket each. We did the hide and the Easter eggs. And Tyler's team got the nod by one egg. One egg.
There you go. I tell you, it is a bit. I tell you what, a man that could have some Easter eggs is our next guest. 19 touches yesterday, 10 marks, 5 goals. Taylor Walker was dominant. The Crows defeated Essendon by 65 points. Have a listen to some of this.
Quick kick forward. Walker takes the mark in front. He gets Adelaide's second goal. They've started pretty well. Turns his opponent inside out. Clever. Hambles back to Tex. Tex, great work, the big fella. Tex Walker.
This should be no issue from 55. He's just caressed it for his third here in the opening term. And he's getting around the boys as he's going to come to the bench for a spell. 3 to Texan. He's flushing the footy tonight, big Tex. 4 last week. This for 4 in the first quarter. We sit right behind it.
Lord.
That is an arrow.
He's got 5, the captain of the Crows, after 4 last week.
And the Adelaide Crows are sitting atop of the ladder and their captain joins us on the line. G'day, Tex. Thanks for having a chat with us on Easter Sunday.
G'day, boys. Happy Easter. What a beautiful day here it is in SA. Even better when you win.
Well, that's exactly right, and you're doing nothing but winning at the moment. Before the boys really get down and dirty, I'm sure you're listening to that conversation. Are you an Easter egg man sitting on top of the ladder 4-0? Have you had a crack this morning?
Oh, I've had a fair crack this morning, boys. That's what it's all about. Easter is all about eating chocolate, so I've got a very sweet tooth, and I gave it a test to that this morning, and I reckon I'll continue doing that throughout the day.
Tex, well done on a great game and another really good victory, but... Mate, if you get that many early, surely you end up with a bigger bag than 5. Did the eyes light up? Did you think you had maybe a 7 or an 8 in you?
That's probably my problem, Duck. I was singing that for the whole second or third quarter. And then I started to get a bit of a back spasm, so I couldn't run anywhere. So I thought I'll sit back and watch Eddie do his thing. And he did that quite well after a pretty tough week.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned him, Tex. He kicked 6 goals too. He's been in the news for no reason or no doing of his own. But are you surprised with his response given the week that he's had? It was a great performance from Eddie.
No, I'm not really surprised. I know what kind of character Eddie is, and pretty tough week, which has been well documented throughout the past probably 3 or 4 days. And just a quality guy, quality footballer, and for him to come in and play like he did last night, credit to himself and obviously his family, because his Indigenous communities are so close, tight bonded, and you can understand it doesn't just affect Eddie, it affects everyone within his community.
Tex, early in the season, obviously round four, but just how slick you guys are and how you're creating turnovers. Scores from turnovers is massive. What do you see in this group this year that perhaps can elevate the team above what you've been able to do the last couple of years?
Well, that was probably our area that was a bit disappointing, which we reviewed last year, was our contest in and around the ball. And we've certainly put that to probably the floor this year. And number two is our pressure around the footy to be able to turn the ball over and then get it going our way, because we understand that we can play some exciting attacking footy once we get the footy, but we need to enable the opposition to get it going our way.
Talking about in and around the footy, Rory Sloane, just absolutely brilliant in and around the footy. He's in career best form.
Oh, he is. One of those guys that you're walking up the race and you can look at him and you know exactly what you're going to get from him. Gives you 120% effort every week. Cracks in, and his leadership on field is second to none. And he's leading our midfield along with Matt Crouch, is probably just sneaking in behind Sloane at the moment, but he's playing an important role for us. And I think Kirtley Hampton slotted in just nicely as well. So we've got some guys that are rotating through the midfield and playing some pretty awesome roles for us.
Yeah, I think Charlie Cameron also compliments those players as well, Tex. But there's another one. He's an absolute beauty. We called him round one. He got a heap of possessions. I look at the stats again today, and he had 36 yesterday. And that is Rory Laird.
Yeah, he's a little desk. He's about 6'0", neonatal grasshopper, and just finds the footy. So he's been outstanding for us. Yeah, I think that's the beauty of our team at the moment. We've just got guys sort of rotating through the midfield and half back, and makes it difficult for opposition to match up on.
I reckon, Tex, you're spot on with the rotations, but when I look at your team, it's more around the periphery where you seem to have a huge advantage. Almost your two half backs, your mids, and I mean, a lot of teams, obviously, wings are genuine mids and your high half forwards, but I see, as soon as you guys turn the ball over or win from stoppage, the run that you get from your outside, your half-backs, is just extraordinary.
Yeah, well, you look at the guys probably through our wings. You got Rory Atkins, who's developed into a pretty consistent wing, along with Wayne Miller as well. And then you mentioned half-back. You've got Luke Brown, who doesn't really get recognised as much as he should, and Brody Smith. So we've got some guys that are just playing some really key roles for us and doing it well, which helps the whole team.
Tex, from the Essendon side of things, it was interesting that John Worsfold after the game said he felt like his boys had hit a wall. You know, didn't even want to rotate Joe Watson through the midfield in the last quarter. He was tired. They've got 10 days rest until Anzac Day. Did you really feel that out in the game, that they were a bit spent, they were out on their legs, that you guys really did have the advantage, especially after halftime in that department?
Oh, we rate our work rate and ability to run the opposition into the ground, and it's probably tough. I think it's, what are we, round four weeks in, after they've probably got 5 or 6 guys that have come back, and Joe being one that haven't played for 12 months. I know what it's like after coming off my knee, how tough it was to get the body conditioned to play AFL footy again. So you can understand how tough it is for those guys that have missed 12 months.
Great start, Tex. You got 4 wins in the bank. You continue to bank the wins if everything continues to go the way that it is. What's the one area that you think the group still needs to work on to improve?
I think our contest stuff, we just need to keep it consistent throughout the 4 quarters. And probably last night was our first game out of 4 that we've started well. So if we can do those 2 things, and you probably asked just one, but I gave you 2. But just contests and starting will be the 2 things that we'll look forward and measure ongoing.
We're speaking to Taylor Walker, the captain of the Adelaide Crows on the Sunday Rub on Triple M. Wayne Carey.
Hey, Tex, I'm going to ask Roosie a question, being the a recent coach out of the game and obviously a premiership coach. Given that you're in such great form now, and I reckon there were times last year where you guys were the best team in the comp, so you peaked at a certain point, and then every team has their flat period. I want to ask you, Roosie, how important is it to be peaking at the right? Clearly the Crows right now, you're saying, are the best team. Is that a concern that they're going so well so early?
Well, I think it's a double-edged sword, really, isn't it, Tex? I mean, you bank wins early because you can get into a bit of a form slump. So it's probably sort of two or three components to a season. There's getting off to a really good start, Tex, which you guys have done. You may have a little form slump. You don't want that to be at the end of the year.
That's right.
So if you're going to have a little form slump in the middle of the year and then coming back again, I mean, it is hard, Tex, isn't it? I think the other thing now, which I might get you to comment on, because you guys got beaten in the last round last year. Then there was a bye the following week. That impacts the competition probably more than even the public know now, that bye. Now, I know we're a long way from that, but there is stages in a season, isn't there, Tex, where you sort of, it's hard to know exactly what's going to happen, but certainly getting off to a good start is the first stage, and you've been able to do that.
Yeah, well, I think it's important. You get off to a good start, get wins in the bank, rather than try and chase wins towards the back end of the year or middle part of the year. You're able to manage guys that potentially could be a little bit sore throughout the year. So I'd rather be in our position right now, winning. Probably, obviously, we're in good form, and we've got to understand that there'll probably come a time where we might not play as well as we'd like to for a couple of weeks, but we'll deal with that when that comes. But I'd rather be getting wins in the bank right now than trying to chase them later on in the year.
Yeah, I think the way you played too, Tex, I think, yeah, there's some free-flowing footy, but I love the way you beat the Hawks as well. A lot of contested marks. And, you know, so already in the start of the season, I think where I see you maybe a little bit different to last year, because everyone talks about your free scoring. You have won in a couple of different ways, which I think is a real improvement on last year. Would that be fair?
We have, yeah. It's certainly right. We've spoken, obviously, with Pikey as leaders that I think that's a maturity of our group. We've been able to win in different kinds of ways in the first 4 weeks. And just, as I said, just shows maturity of where a group is going.
Hey, Tex, just to finish on, Jenkins, when do you expect him to be back? And to be honest, there were a few snickers in and around the AFL thinking, oh, you know, because the Crows, and this is the problem with, I guess, not being given all of the information, and clearly, you know, you guys, for your own reasons, I'm not sure why, have said that, you know, it wasn't as serious, there's no crack. But the actual cartilage can be worse than a broken rib and can actually take longer to come back from. So when do you expect to get him back?
Yeah, it's a good question. I probably don't have an answer for you because it's one of those things that's just day to day. He'll wake up and he'll feel good, or the next day he'll wake up and have a bad sleep and he won't feel as great. So I'd probably say next 2 to 4 weeks I would expect JJ back, but he's improving every day, which is great. So he could be back next week, who knows.
Now, have you started to work on your speech for Bernie's wedding, Bernie Vince's wedding text? If
You're
you
right,
need anything, just maybe just give us a bit of a phone call, but I'm sure you got plenty of ammo on him, have you?
I do, yeah. I've got a little book that I've been, I've just got it sitting in my car, and if I come up with any thoughts along the drive down to West Lakes, so I'd chuck them all down onto a piece of paper, because we have got a few stories to say, but you always got to be pretty careful reading out at weddings, Rosie.
We might get that simulcast across Triple M, that best man speech, Duck. That might be a good one, I reckon.
You've got to be very careful you don't confuse the wedding speech with like the 21st speech or something like that, which can happen. Tex, just before we let you go, you're obviously a busy man over there. You're a high-profile man. How does the big Texan get away from football and the rare opportunities over in Adelaide? What do you get up to?
Well, I've got mum down at the moment, so it'll be nice. All my mates from home are down, so they're going to come over this afternoon and we'll sit down and watch the footy. But, look, mate, I like to get back home to Broken Hill. We've got a couple of dogs that love taking them down the park and completely getting away, and also love having a hit of golf, which is very soothing when you get out on the golf course.
And are you still calling yourself Arthur, as in arthritis, because you get into every joint in Adelaide? Are you still rolling out that line or not?
No, that used to be Duck back in the day. 2 years ago, apparently.
Hey, Tex, we really appreciate your time. It's been a great start to the season for you and your Crows, mate. Long continue.
Thanks, boys.
Great to speak to Taylor Walker, the Adelaide captain. So much to come on the show now. Roosie, we were trying to get hold of Ross Lyon. It was beyond us. You've had a conversation with him. Is he coming on the Sunday row?
Well, given that it was very tight and you started talking at 1:01 and I had to hang up on him. I hope I got my point across.
Tell you what, Jay-Z, you've got a few issues bubbling away and there's one right at the forefront of your mind which involves Roosie in a way.
Well, one of the biggest talking points, I think, in the footy at the moment, or certainly there's a lot of interest in the comparison, and we do this with drafts over the years, between Melbourne's Christian Petrarca, who was very good, I thought, yesterday, Roosie, and St Kilda's Paddy McCartan. Now, we must be careful. And obviously, McCartan, it's his third year. He's a full forward. The big blokes take more time. But at the moment, you think that potentially St Kilda fans would be nervous that maybe they picked the wrong bloke. Maybe they should have gone Christian Petrarca. And that's the talk around water coolers, really, right around the state at the moment. Paddy McCartan, again, dropped for today's game. As I said, while Petrarca was excellent yesterday. And I just wonder, Roosie, you know, when you go back to St Kilda at the time, they were needing the key forward. Whereas recruiters always sort of talk about just having to pick the best player, especially in the first two rounds of the draft. But maybe they went the key forward because they needed one. And you were at Melbourne at the time. I mean, how did you see those guys at the time?
Yeah, look, I think making it clear to the listeners too, I mean, as coach, we just watch a bit of vision and we're almost becoming a consultant to Jason Taylor and the boys and that. So they're terrific in my experience with those boys. But we'll see a little bit of vision and Jace might say, Roosie, look, what do you think about the track? We had picked 2 and 3 because Frawley left. So we knew that we would get two of McCartan, Petrarca, Brayshaw. So they were the three in that package. And Duck can weigh on this as well as a key forward. The problem that I see, and I watched that whole year with Brayshaw, my son played with Angus, I saw all those players play in that particular season. The problem you have with the competition they're coming from is when you're a tall, the game that you're going to is so far different to what your game you're playing. You're playing against a guy that's generally 6'2", 6'3", in McCartan, Boyd, Patton, in their situation, 10, 15 kilos lighter. You're not allowed to flood. You're not allowed to tag. You've got to have certain number of players behind the ball at a stoppage, et cetera, et cetera. The rules are ridiculous, and it makes it so much harder for you to judge a key position player duck than it is for a midfield type.
I completely agree with everything Roosie just said. What you've got to look at, and you look at these young key forwards that are coming into the game, and we just spoke to one of the gun key forwards in Tex Walker. You've got to work out whether they're a mark kick key forward, and you mentioned those names, or they're a guy like Tex Walker, or let's go back to a recent centre-half forward, a Jonathan Brown, who can kick 5 or 6 goals, but they get 20 possessions. They can get 25 possessions. In a big game, they can have 30 possessions. You're not going to get a McCartan. You're not going to get a Darcy Moore. You're not going to get a Joe Danaher. Hogan's in the same category, I think, as a Jonathan Brown. Yeah. I think he can, because he's got the tank, he's the sort of player that can get you 20 possessions and kick you 4 goals. They're a completely different type. McCartan's in that mark kick area.
So he's saying he's a bit one-dimensional?
Well, at this point in time, that's what he is. And if that's what he was at junior level, Roosie, you can't see him coming into senior level and then all of a sudden changing and becoming a ball magnet. And that's why yesterday on the Saturday rub, I made the comments, and I'm not sure whether he's capable of doing this, Roosie, but throw the kid at centre-half back. Give him a chance to follow a key forward around. Just get some continuity in his game. Learn the game a little bit. Get his hands on the footy a little bit more. I'm not sure whether he's capable of doing the way. But it just might be a way of just getting him some senior footy and getting his body right. And, you know, who knows? I don't know what sort of tank he's got, but looking at him, he is very one-dimensional.
And the problem is, Duck, the point I was trying to make, sorry, about the competition, McCartan doesn't necessarily have to find a different way to get the ball at TAC Cup. Patton
right.
doesn't have to find a different
because
way.
Because they just clunk
Because
them.
They're in one-on-one, they're in 15 to 20 one-on-one contests a game. You come up to AFL football, that's And that's not going to happen. You're not going to be in 15 to 20 one-on-one contest with a guy that's 10 centimetres shorter and 10 kilograms lighter than you. So you need to... That's why Petraka and Brayshaw...
It is that time of the show where on a Sunday you can relax, crack open the Easter eggs, sit back and enjoy a little bit of...
Gather round, boys and girls. It's story time with Roosie.
Story time with Roosie, taking on cult status. Now, today we go to the end of the 1990 season. We're in Saratoga, California, Duck. Roosie is in the spa with the beautiful Tammy. He's sucking on a nice little fluffy duck, as you like to do when you go away on Bali. And all of a sudden, the phone rings, Roosie.
Yeah, it was a bit of a shock. I don't know whether you've set the scene correctly there, but we may have been in the spa with an Ouzo and Coke. Not
okay, sorry.
Yeah, look, so I got the phone call from Damien Smith, who was my manager at the time, and it was the end of 90, going into 91 season. Collingwood won the premiership, and the phone call went along the lines of, Fitzroy want you to take a 33% pay cut, or they're going to trade you the club of your choice, or they'll just trade you anywhere. And yeah, I was pretty shocked, obviously, at the time. I was captain of Fitzroy, and look, we're all aware that Fitzroy were going through some financial problems, and it certainly wasn't easy at the time. So, sort of in the same conversation, Damien said, look, Collingwood are very interested. They've already spoken to Fitzroy. So it sort of seemed to me that the deal had already been done. It was a big shock. Collingwood then rang me the next day and said, look, we have spoken to Fitzroy. We think we can do the deal.
Who called you, Roosie?
Was it Gubby Allen was still there? It might have been Gubby Allen at the time. I spoke to Lee Matthews. He was coaching. So I spoke to a number of Collingwood people at that time, and they tried to convince me to come to them. And then spoke to Damien, and I said, look, Dame, looks like I've got no choice. At no stage did anyone from Fitzroy ring me.
Full stop.
Not no stage. So Collingwood organised to, once we'd agreed on contracts, they'd organised to fly me back. And I said, look, I wanted to come back. You know, I really wanted to come back and meet the players, get traded if I did. So back in those days, those people at my age, 53, would remember there was a smoking section. And the best ticket we could get was the smoking section at the back of the plane. So it wasn't a great trip back. And we got back. I arrived in Melbourne. Still no one from Fitzroy had spoken to me at all during the time.
Did that hurt?
Yeah, you must have been annoyed.
Oh, I was devastated. Yeah, I was really disappointed. We got through the trade. I remember sitting with Damien at the time. And the wash-up was Collingwood couldn't get anyone to agree to go to Fitzroy to play because of the financial problems they got. They rang me and, look, apologised. The deadline had finished. I actually picked the phone up to ring Fitzroy, and I said, look, I'm in Melbourne.
Who do you ring, and how does that conversation
I think it was
go?
Max Kelleher was the CEO at the time.
And are you annoyed at this point?
Oh, yeah, I was pretty angry. Yeah, I was pretty disappointed that no one had spoken to me. As I said, I was captain of the footy club, and I got asked
pretty
to take
rude.
A decent pay cut. So I said to, look, so I'm a required player. Yes, you're a required player. You're going to pay me? Yes, we'll pay you now. I said, well... Well, I go back to the States, yeah. So I just jump on a plane. I went over. I was a bit lucky. I got in the normal economy seat. Okay. So I went back over there. And I actually resigned as captain. So I sent I think it was a fax machine back then, Duck.
Thought it might have been a pigeon.
It was just past. What was that thing they had? The Morse code?
Teletext.
It was just after Morse code. So I sent a fax resigning from captain, basically saying, look, if you clearly didn't want me as a player, you know, then you don't need me to lead the footy club. And then went back and played and continued playing there.
Who was captain?
So what happened, Doug, I resigned as captain. Mm. Shorey, to be fair to Shorey, I think it was Robert Shaw's first year from memory, he actually asked me to reconsider. He said, look, we want you to be captain. I said, Shorey, look, I just don't feel comfortable. He said, look, I understand. Richard Osborne was captain for that season.
A question out of that story. So this is the end of 1990. The next year, Collingwood, the club you could have been playing with, they had a pretty good year.
Well, 90, they won the flag. Yeah. And then I'm not sure what they did in 91. And the upshot to that story, because they couldn't get me to go, Gary Peart ended up going to Fitzroy. Purdy had done his knee. And his dad had played. So his history for Fitzroy was even greater. He was vice captain, I was captain. But his dad had played for Fitzroy, Brian. So he was there, you know, father, son. And they really stitched him up because his knee, and we're not going to pay you and all that. So they pretty much forced him forced him out.
What was it like going back into the footy club? Kirk, you were just telling me on my ears that you went on and played All Australian that year and you won the BNF. So obviously on the ground it worked all right, but how is it when you walk back in the doors when as captain they haven't even got hold of you, they've asked for a pay cut and they've tried to move you on?
That's... Yeah, look, with, as these boys know, the players make up the club as well. And as I said, Shorey was fine. So I met Shorey when I came back. The players, we were a great group of players and had a lot of... The administrators back then... Look, with all due respect, it was a different time, a different era. You know, there was a lot of backstreet back deals and all those sorts of things. So
brown paper bags.
Yeah, there wasn't that much trust. Yeah, between the administration, some of the administrators, I must admit, my experience with most of the Fitzroy people were very, very good guys like Arthur Wilson, Georgie Coates, who's since passed away. That group were fantastic. There was a group there for a little bit that I didn't trust as much, but the players were always really close at the team, and then that's what held you together, Duck. I mean, you guys went through a little bit of a similar time in terms of pays and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah. Ducky, what would happen if the Kangaroos said to the Ducks, what, about that million?
Well, listen, boys, we need to take a 10% pay cut. We knew that was speak for Duck contracts on the table again.
This isn't Duck story time, but I will have you know that I actually went in and volunteered to give a little bit of my money back.
And did they
and
take
also,
it?
Well, of course they bloody took it.
He's the only bloke that could afford to give a bit back.
But I think, Duck, you're out of the old story, it's more the fact they didn't speak to you, you know.
Introducing for the first time this afternoon, the guru that is Mickey Roberts. Hello, Robbo.
G'day, Howie. How are you, mates? And I've got Scotty down here, Scotty Burns with me, who's the midfield coach. And I was just talking to Banger Harvey, too, standing next to you, about going inside 50, like high, and then not scoring, not whacking it on the scoreboard. Real problem for Collingwood.
Yeah, we probably got a fair few repeat entries anyway. We opposition quick kick-outs, and we haven't quite been able to take a few big marks or crumb a few goals. But got to be a little bit smarter sometimes, too, with lowering our eyes and... There's probably been a few kicks coming through defensive mid to attacking mid that should hit targets a little bit better, which would make that last kick a little bit easier. So it's a combination of everything.
To alleviate some of that problem, obviously Jamie Elliott back. He's had back surgery, then he had an ankle problem. He played a scratch match in the VFL and got through with 5 goals. Really looking forward to him to perform.
Yeah, absolutely. First game, I think, Pakistan the other day, for nearly 600 days. So it's a long time, but... He's definitely a brilliant player, and he's, I know it's only JLT, but round one he showed a few things early, and last week just plays. He just knows how to play, knows how to jump. So he'll find the ball today, and it's starting to look a little bit damaging with that smaller forward line when you put Fasolo and Elliott, and Broomhead was good last week, Trav Varko, and at times we've got the opportunity to put Will Hosking Elliott forward as well, who's done really well the last couple of games.
Hey, Burnsy, you've played some really good footy this year, and if anything, the only thing that has let you down has been either your efficiency around the ground or your efficiency in front of goal. I thought last week's first quarter against Sydney was the best kicking out of any side that I've seen this year. It was absolutely superb. What did you think? Although you probably should have kicked another goal or two, but in terms of your kicking, it was exceptional.
Yeah, I was going to say exactly that, Duck. I think we went inside 50, 20-plus times and had 4-3 or 4-4 at quarter time. And look, we controlled the ball quite well through that middle part of the ground. But look, Sydney defended really well. And it was actually an awkward game with the slippery conditions. And we know how hard Sydney are putting pressure on you through the midfield. And their defenders are obviously pretty strong and very good 1v1. But it was pleasing. There were signs there, so we want to build on that.
Is that the way you want to play? Because from afar, and we sit up here in our little ivory box and we have opinions on, you know, what clubs are trying to do. Is that the type of footy you want to play that you played in that first quarter? Do you want to play that, I guess, possession style, precision kicking style of footy?
Oh, well, it's a balance because we believe through the midfield with, Pendlebury, Chalor and Adams and Sidebottom and Crisp and even with Hosking Elliott on wings, we've got a bit of run and drive and some good hands too, so... We don't want to be controlling the footy at times. We can really go aggressively forward and take the game on. But there's going to be a time, absolutely, when we either need to just slow the pace of the game down or maybe deny the opposition the ball for a little bit in time. And we thought we did that well going into state and making sure that we got a bit of a head start last week.
I thought the big win in your game last week, Burnsy, was just the pressure around the football. Yeah, I think we played you a couple of times last year and I'm trying to remember back, but I reckon the second quarter in one of the games, it was probably as good a pressure team that we'd played. So you've been capable of being able to do it, but must have been really pleased with the tackle numbers, and Sydney are fantastic at that. But the way you attacked them around the contest, I thought was exceptional.
Yeah, really, really happy with the pressure. I mean, the mids obviously got a fair few tackles. I thought the game was umpired differently, though, last week as well, which changed it. There wasn't so many holding the ball straight away, so it probably allowed you to get another two or three tackles nearly at each contest. But, yeah, look, sitting live watching and at home, if you watched that game last week, it was pretty hard to get a clean touch. But probably from a midfield point of view, it was nearly the Doggies game I was probably more pleased with, in the sense that we won the contested ball and we're clean and we got out of there well. Like Duck said earlier, though, we just didn't finish off going forward. So it's great. We want that pressure all the time. We want to make it hard for the opposition, but we don't want to be our own worst enemies and overhandle or miss targets with our hands in tight when we could get out of there quite quickly.
Yeah, I think the balance of your team too, Burns. You mentioned Barco before. I just think he's an incredibly important player for you with his speed. Obviously, Elliott's speed. Hoskin Elliott's pretty quick. Because you've got a lot of really good inside midfielders, but not exceptional leg speed, but I think the balance once you start getting those players back, and you have Greenwood's important, and obviously Wells becomes really important, just getting that balance right.
No, there's no doubt. I thought 18 months ago we were probably a little bit dour. The reality is we'd love to have a Benny Sinclair flying off halfback as well, because he adds a little bit more. But the inclusion of like Hoskin Elliott, Barco over the last few years, yeah, when Billy actually gets up and running, Greenwood's quite powerful and quite explosive over that 10 or 15 metres, so whether he's playing a high forward role or midfield role, he's really important. And probably the biggest improvement in our team is probably Brody Grundy, to tell you the truth, with his follow-up around the contest and his ability to break the space hard on the 45s, which has created a fair bit of overlap for us as well. So he's been fantastic with his run.
Scotty J. Clark here, interested in Daniel Wells. Assume you went and watched him yesterday. How was he in particular? How's his fitness at the moment?
The way he was training, I would have nearly played him last week.
Really?
But it's been really pleasing the last few weeks at training, and the fitness coach is walking past me now. He doesn't like me getting into him about that. But it was good yesterday. I thought the most pleasing thing for Wellesley, when you've got a quality player like that, it's not necessarily how many touches they get. It's more to me that last quarter he chased hard a couple of times and still has had his agility and speed late in the game, which was really pleasing, so he's in a good spot.
So depending on how things go today, do you assume he'll be available for selection next week in the Anzac Day game?
Well, he'll be up there. I mean, he's probably up there this week before Bucks ruled him out earlier in the week, and the fitness lad just wanted to see him get through a VFL game. We'd have to wait up and see how he pulled up. If he's got a little bit of residual soreness, we might be careful. But if he's pulled up really well, he'll obviously be a chance.
Hey, Scotty, Darcy Moore's only a young kid. A lot of expectation on his shoulders. Just the one goal from his three games this year. What's your messaging to him during the course of the week, and what's your expectation with regards to his output?
Well, that's an easy question. None. I'm midfield coach, so I don't give him any message.
The forward coach then, Scotty. I'm sure that you're privy to some of those things that may or may not be said.
Yeah, look with a bloke like Darcy, obviously you've got a huge amount of ability. I think the easiest thing is just keep working and just keep attacking the footy hard. Like with what we just spoke about earlier, with some of the ground level players we've got now in that forward line, he necessarily doesn't have to kick big bags over the next two or three weeks. If he competes really well, brings it down, chases and tackles, those little fellas will start getting rewards. And you know what happens in footy, as soon as that starts happening, there's two or three weeks later, you're starting to kick four, five or six. So it'll happen. It's not far off. I reckon the last week and a half at training has been very, very good from him. He showed some really good signs early, I thought, last week in Sydney as well.
Scotty, appreciate your time. Best of luck to you on the Pies today.
No worries. Thanks, boys.
Scotty Burns, the Collingwood midfield coach, with Mickey Roberts down on the bench. Ross Lyon, not too far away from joining us after Roosie really put the strong arm on him and basically said, you're coming on. They had a good win yesterday against Melbourne, who, again, Schwatter were missing some key players.
Yeah, they were. Maxi Gawn obviously injured last week against the Cats, but we called the game last week, when they dominated the Cats in just about every area, Roosie, except for on the scoreboard. They were inaccurate in front of goals, and then a disappointing performance yesterday when they were in front and in control against Fremantle. And I can't but help sort of go back, okay, you accept the fact that Maxi Gawn's out. You accept that injuries are part of the, you know, the nature of the game, but what I'd really be keen to understand is how difficult it would be to accept as a coach in Simon Goodwin, or you're the most recent coach, with the suspensions for Jordan Lewis and Jesse Hogan. Because the reality is they may or may not have won the game, but you'd like to think with two key important players that they'd be a good chance of winning at least one, if not two.
Yeah, look, I went there live just as a supporter yesterday. It was good just to barrack for the D's.
I actually saw you there. You're on Tammy, just sitting in the crowd there.
And it's funny because while I was watching it, there's goals that Jesse Hogan would have kicked yesterday because he's, Duck, you touched on it. Mm. you know, from a technical point of view, he's an elite endurance and he knows the game plan. He gets up the ground really well, but he can also get back inside forward 50. And when I was watching the game yesterday, in my own mind, Swatter, I'm thinking, and again, we can't crystal ball and see who would have won. Freo can only play who's on the field at that particular time. But I probably would have thought there would have been four or five genuine opportunities that Jesse would have created, his ability to get up and back. Sam Wiedemann has to play as the key tall. Watch his second run.
And he got injured. He got injured too. He got a bad corky.
He got a bad corky. So just watching Sam play compared to Jesse, Sam's not yet capable with the injury as well of getting up and back inside 50. So there's no doubt that Jesse would have generated, you know, another four or five scoring shots, another four or five goals. So look, it's clearly frustrating because, you know, an injury to Max Gawn is unavoidable. A suspension to Jesse Hogan and Jordan Lewis is not unavoidable. That's something that both players can control. And they're the games we talked with Tex earlier on. The games you bank early in the season, you know, it's a big difference 3-1 compared to 2-2, you know. And no doubt it would be frustrating for Simon.
What would your response have been to both of those players if he was still coaching?
Well, it's very difficult because in a full-time environment now, there's the educational phase, there's the discipline phase, there's the leadership groups that are involved. Yeah, and I think both those players, I certainly read Jordan apologised or spoke to the group, and I suspect Jesse would as well. But, you can't get those games back. Mm. That's where it's extremely frustrating. Look, full credit to Freo, and I think they're a way better team. And and I think what we're seeing now is the evenness of the competition. So that what's going to come down to the eight is the injury, is the suspension, is, you know, the 13 goals 20 compared to the 20 goals 13. They're the things at the end of the year are going to make a big difference. In the last 2 weeks, we've seen Melbourne should have won here, but poor kicking, and the suspensions. There's no doubt suspensions cost them yesterday, definitely.
We're about to discuss the Hawthorn Football Club. They take on the Cats on Easter Monday, currently sitting 0-3, the Hawks. And the former captain, four-time premiership player from the Hawthorn Football Club, Luke Hodge, joined the boys on the Friday huddle on Friday night and had this to say about Alistair Clarkson.
I don't see that being Clarko. If he was going to leave, he wouldn't have traded out a Mitchell over Lewis, because we would be a better team with them at the moment. He was looking at the future of the football club. He was looking at Jago Mira, Tom Mitchell, all these guys to come in, have an impact with the younger guys coming through. So he's looking at 2018, 19, 20, 21 to be better for the football club. So he's looking for longevity. He's not going to pack up his bags and leave.
There has been a bit of talk about, you know, rival clubs. If they do need a coach at the end of the season, they're knocking on his door and trying to tempt him out of Hawthorn. He sort of poured cold water on that, Howie. But they are in a bit of a situation, the Hawks. They're Norton 3. They've got a big game against Geelong. Could be Norton 4. And for me, interestingly, and you guys will comment on this, it's been a lot of their structural stuff behind the ball. I mean, they're being outmarked in defence a lot, which we haven't seen that, a lot in the past. Josh Gibson's not playing that well. They're not getting that rebound off half back and not that potency in the forward half either. Ruzi, from a coaching perspective, what would it be like in that Hawthorn inner sanctum at the moment? Do you think that belief would be being chiselled away by this poor start to the season?
Look, it's a fascinating time for Hawthorn, and I think all the commentary around Clarko, I think the first thing you need to say, Clarko can do what he likes to do because he's a four-time premiership coach. And I think his preference would clearly be to stay at Hawthorn and reinvent this team. And he's more than capable of doing it. I think the article that Choco wrote was more around his scenario where he said he probably should have left because there is a cut-off point as well for a coach. You know, often a coach can outstay his welcome. I'm not suggesting at all that Clarko's done that. I think it's a great opportunity for Clarko now. Like, he's gone through the first stage of his coaching career, which was really tough and lost a lot of games. He then got a group of players that was exceptional and ran the table and won four premierships. There's no doubt that this is a stage where he's got a group of older players in Hodge, Burgoyne, Gibson, etc., integrating Jager O'Meara, Tommy Mitchell, Hartung, etc., etc. I think the question that I always go back to when you're talking about teams, Duck and Swatter, is what is their brand? You know, they had a very strong brand. which was built around keeping the ball off the opposition, uncontested marks. They weren't great at contested ball the last 3 or 4 years. They were minus 60 contested ball last week. They no longer can sustain the uncontested mark. They did it fantastically well for a half against Adelaide. In the last quarter, they had 6 uncontested marks and Adelaide obliterated them. So more around Clarko rebuilding his game style. That's the thing that fascinates me. How are they going to play this year?
Langford, Hartung, Smith, Gunston, all of those players now, we're finding out whether they really are very good players or they were very good players in a very good team. They now have to do a little bit more heavy lifting. That's the simple facts, because they're not as good a team as what they were. Normally, when they got guys like Hale who's the other guy?
Gunston.
Gunston and these guys from other clubs.
Gibson.
They've come in and they've been exceptional Burgoyne. Players in that team. Now they've gone and got Vickery and a couple of others and brought them in thinking that that'll be the same, but they're not the same team. So Vickery has to be not just an average player. He has to be a good player at Hawthorn now, because they're not a very, very good team as they once were. So things have changed, and that's how I see it anyway.
And, your brand invariably is coming off the back of a really strong group of experienced leaders, Roosie, and they've said goodbye to a couple of those players, which Clarko moved out. They've got some other players that are very close towards the end. So very much a transitional phase now. So the challenge is, which of those next group of middle-rung players are prepared to step up and assume the roles of Mitchell and Lewis and co?
That's the other the slight concerning thing for me with Hawthorn. Not necessarily. I still think they're a good team. I still think they could play finals footy. Obviously going to be hard if they get beaten tomorrow, really hard, as we know history tells us, very, very hard. But the concerning thing for me, I don't look at their list and I don't see 5 or 6 players that I can think off the top of my head that are young, mid-20-year-olds that are very, very good players.
But that's a system too, Duck, isn't it? Because they've been up for so long, haven't had
the
early
system,
picks.
And that's the system working. And Clarko and Hawthorn have been exceptional in plugging holes
definitely.
Where they've had to about those guys that I mentioned
Brian
before.
Brian Lake coming in.
They've all done that. And then Frawley coming in, when Lake went out. So they've just been exceptional at that. They now no longer can do that, because those players aren't expected to just come in and play a bit part in a very good team. They have to come in and be a good player.
Yeah, and I think the team that they constructed, Jay, was around kicking. So they had a great kicking. Birchall's out of the team. Mitchell and Lewis were their two best kicks, getting them out into space.
Suckling.
So you've taken Mitchell and Lewis out and you put O'Meara and Tommy Mitchell in. They're different players. Mm. My question, and what's going to be fascinating over the course of this season, is are they going to go back to being a contested ball team, which every other team, we heard Tex Walker talk, what they're working on is their contest area. We heard Scotty Burns talk about their tackle. Sydney have always been a great tackling team. Ross Lyon, prior to the, who they beat last week, the Bulldogs talked about, we're going to get back, we're going to be simple.
Collingwood.
Yeah, Collingwood. What Hawthorn have built their team around is not contested ball. It's been about a bit of tackle pressure, so the dump kick out into defence, and then once they get the ball, it was impossible to get it back off them.
Yep.
They can't play that style of football anymore. So I'm just fascinated to see. Clarko's the man for the job, and he'll work it out. But what is their game style going to look like over the next month or two?
How long does it take your group and a coaching group to change the way they have played previously until a new game plan is evolved and it's working properly?
Well, it does take a while. I can only talk about when I went to Melbourne. We had 12 months, and Clarko's been there, so he knows what his team's capable of. Probably the first 12 months for a new coach is seeing what your team's capable of doing. But I was really strong in the brand we wanted to play. So then you're starting to plug in your recruiting, you start to teach them to tackle, win their own ball. I don't know what Hawthorn have worked on, but whatever they're doing, whatever they've done, Duck, their last 4 years, they can't do anymore.
It comes down to Swatter, I think, and once again, Roosie, because you've coached, you can answer this better than any of us. It comes down to when you look at your teams, you can have a really good football team and they can be really good footballers, but it comes down to how many players in your team have football intelligence. Now, when you say how long does it take for players, I'm baffled when I hear coaches say, oh, we've only been together, this forward line's only been together for 12 months, so they don't know how one another, what a load of crap that is. At the end of the day, you're reading the game, yeah. but the simple facts are some players have a lot of football intelligence and some players don't. Some players are very athletic and they can jump and they can mark and they can kick.
Yep.
But when it comes to knowing exactly what's going on out there all the time and listening to instruction and everything else, there's a couple of dodos out there.
Yeah.
And if you've got a lot of dodos out there, then it might take 2 years for them to get it.
And I reckon the thing that fascinated me about what Hodgie said too, boys, was we could have been a better team this year had we have kept Mitchell and Lewis. Mm. So if you're a senior player, Duck, and I'm not putting words in Hodgie's mouth, I'm saying that's probably a fact. So if you're Gibson, if you're Hodgie, if you're Burgoyne, you know, you're sort of thinking, well, our era is sort of ending. Where are we this year? Mm. We've seen two mates that have left. He said that quote, didn't he? Quote, unquote.
Yep.
We could have been a better team this year. How long's Hodgie going to last? Is he going to play next year? So that's a difficult mindset to go into the season with. We could have been a better team this year.
I've got a big smile on my face listening to this conversation because Clarko would normally, when he had his very good team together and those great decision makers and, I said, a lot of football intelligence out on the ground, he's sitting there saying, I don't even have to worry about this. They know what to do out there. They just do it. They're almost, you don't have to coach them. Then I think back to us in the 90s, I remember Pago just saying, you just kick it long, more or less saying, you're a Dumbo. That's all we want you. I reckon we might have had a few of those dodos, Swatter, because our game plan was pretty bloody simple. Just bang it long.
Nicely done, Duck. Nicely done. And just got real ability to roll out a joke like you do with the dodo or the Dumbo and then just keep chuckling at your own work for the next 5 minutes and looking at everyone in the box and pointing, saying, yes, I am Jerry Seinfeld. A little bit of late mail coming your way, Jay-Z.
Yeah, there's a late change for Collingwood. Jared Blair is in, small forward, and out Tommy Phillips, who's been very good so far the start of the season, hard-running wingman, had a lot of the footy. He is out, and Tommy Phillips did do the big spread in the paper today.
Great story, too.
Yeah, he is out with illness. That would have been an unexpected one this morning. So Jared Blair will start on the bench along with Jamie Elliott, who's back in the side, Ramsey and Crisp as well. So the late news again, Jared Blair in for the Pies. Tommy Phillips out, St Kilda as selected. Howie.
It's an unfortunate incident has just come to light regarding a Fremantle player. The coach, Ross Lyon, will be joining us in about 15 minutes' time, Jay-Z, but there's some breaking news.
Yeah, Harley Bunnell is in more hot water, fellas. The Fremantle Football Club this morning has confirmed that he was asked to leave a Virgin flight from Melbourne to the Gold Coast on Saturday. So what happened is Harley flew from Perth to Melbourne, had some drinks, then went to the cafe, had some more drinks, got on the Virgin plane to fly from Melbourne to the Gold Coast, literally got in his seat, but was then asked to leave. So clearly, the assumption there is that he was inebriated or he'd had too many, consumed too many drinks. Fremantle Football Club, given everything that's happened with Harley, I mean, he's had a wretched run for the past 2 years with calf issues at the Dockers. They did give up picks 16 and 35, got 22 back. So essentially a second round pick for Harley Bunnell. But this has been a massive disappointment, a massive bust, largely because of his injury problems. But when things like this happen, we know he's having a difficult time. That is very disappointing from the Fremantle Football Club's perspective. And they said, Duck, that they're going to continue to try and support and manage this situation.
So I've just read the statement from Fremantle. So clearly it said he cooperated and he hasn't made a scene. He hasn't misbehaved, but clearly they've thought or they've smelled alcohol and thought that he may have had too much.
Yeah, unfit to take the flight.
And then they took him back to the Virgin Lounge.
Yeah, back to the cafe. Now, Fremantle footy chief Chris Bond said, we're disappointed that Harley consumed alcohol to the extent that airline staff felt he was unfit to take the flight. Steve Rossich and I have been in regular contact with him, and it is important that we continue to support and provide guidance to Harley on how best to cope with the frustration and disappointment of not playing football. Going to be fascinating to talk to Ross Lyon about this situation shortly.
Probably going back to the Virgin Lounge probably wasn't the best place to go.
Well, I tell you what, Ducky, it's lucky he wasn't flying United, because I tell you what, if you get on the wrong side of that aeroplane, they sort of drag you right off. Now, it is time for
The Sunday Rubs.
Oh, back to school.
Back to school quiz.
Real flop last week, let's be honest, Watto. It really didn't work. So,
questions are easy.
Well, we've tried to make it. We took it from year 10 to grade 6 now.
This could be it.
We're on the Triple M Footy Facebook page at the moment.
This could be it.
This is the last possible opportunity. Ruse has got one win. Kerry has one win. Jay-Z and Schwatter yet to get off the mark.
Hey, hang on. I won last week comprehensively.
Oh, okay. Right, eh?
Yeah, we can't even score the quiz.
Ruse,
Swass, one.
Oh,
sorry. The other two.
None for Zip. Duck. Sorry. All right. Okay. Well, okay. Here we go now. Reset. Test your buzzers, Jay-Z.
JJ.
Swatter.
Duck.
Ruse.
Now, Duck, some things in life you need to embrace, and this is one of them. Can you test your buzzer again?
Duck.
There you go. All right, back to school. Maths, we start with. From the St Kilda Football Club, what number does Lee Montagna wear?
Swatter.
Yes.
I don't know.
Oh, you're out.
JJ?
Yes.
30?
No.
Oh.
No. 13. You folks are hopeless.
Get us a call, shit.
Number 11 is 11. What he wears.
Oh, it's closest.
Well, yes, Ruzy. Oh, but
it's closest.
Ruzy.
Doesn't matter. It's
no
not my
vote
goal.
For you. History question. The 2011 preliminary final. Who did Collingwood beat by 3 points?
Port Adelaide.
JJ. Geelong.
That's so bad.
Hey, how come you're buzzing Ruzy and I when we haven't even had a chance to answer?
You're still in. Buddy kicked one from the pocket. I think Luke Ball might have kicked the winner. Yes.
Hawthorne.
Well done, Spot.
You just told him.
Well, mate, it's like preschool. It's like preschool with you clowns.
Yeah, you're
geography. Swatter's on 1 point. Geography. What New South Wales town does Tony Lockett call
Ruse,
home?
Ruse.
Ruzy.
Barrel.
Yes. Well done. Ruzy won, Schwatter won. Getting interesting. Okay, we go to round two, 2013. The Richmond Football Club are playing. A big name player, an excitable player. Guess the player.
Delinio around his body. Oh!
Duck.
Yes.
He dropped him. Just for the height he got. Surely and that's then he's wrestled someone by the neck to the ground.
He just dropped Mark of the Year.
Oh, come on.
A Richmond cult figure. No one can get it. Jack one of Bramble. JB's favourites.
Oh, push-up. Swatter.
Yes, Swatter. Jake King. One to you, Swatter.
Are
two.
Are you allowed to yell out the answer and then say your buzzer?
Yes, because this segment's going that bad, we'll just get through it.
It's not going well. Swatter's got two. Ruzy's got one. English question. How do you spell Liberatore?
JJ.
Yes.
Liber.
Yes.
Atore.
Yes. Well done, Jay-Z. 2-1-1. This was said during the week about Joey Montagna. Who said it?
Didn't look good, and we addressed that.
Yes.
That was the coach, Alan Richardson.
It was. Jay-Z, 2. Ruse, 1. Schwatter, 2. Duck yet to score. The history bonus round. Final question. Who won the 1994 Brownlow medal?
94?
Yes.
Ruse.
Yes, Ruse.
Scotty Wine.
No. Wayne Schwatt came 4th. The 1994 Brownlow medalist.
JJ.
I was favourite until I got suspended. Until I got suspended, I was that red hot favourite. But who won it? No idea.
You're out, the Jay-Z.
Wanganine 93. It was at...
He already said Scotty Wind.
The answer is Tony Liberatore. Oh. So we're going now, because you blokes are so bad, we're going to a tiebreaker. Schwatter is on 2.
Can you believe we never won one and Liber did?
Have a listen to the man. All right. The decider. Schwatter on 2. Jay-Z on 2. Duck and Ruzy, you're out.
Ruzy was favourite a few times too. And Schwatter, actually.
What
Schwatter
number? Did. Does Alex Rosolo wear from the Collingwood Football Club? Schwatter.
1.
Yes, Schwatter gets a second one on the board. Schwatter is 2.
Well
Ruzy is
Schwatter.
1. Beauty. And I'm not sure.
Well, I think we can can that, can't we?
Oh, we need a little bit of work to be done on that one. Plenty still to come on the Sunday Rub.
Now Joey Montana, he's going to be happy.
Yeah.
No one got his number, as will Tony Liberatore. And Duck's gone with, how did he win a Brownlow and you and I didn't, Ruzy? What do you got there for me, Jay-Z?
Well, the 1994 Brownlow medal winner was Greg Williams, was it? Or was it some Liberatore won it in 1990?
That's right, it was Greg Williams.
Well, I've just given the sheet, so if it's wrong, MJ is the one that's going to take the bullet for that.
So that's just cancel that whole thing out. So no one gets anything for that.
I've
just been told by St Kilda media manager that Joey Montagna's number for today is number 12. He's swapping with Nick Riewoldt.
Okay, well, therefore, you win it now.
we've got to the bottom of Brownlow Gate, and yes, it was Greg Williams that won the 1994 Brownlow, not Tony Liberatore, and our producer, Michael James, basically cocked it up, Ducky. It's the only thing you can say, and in that situation, throw a bloke under a bus.
I remember now what I got reported for, Peter Satori from Fitzroy.
What did you do to him, Doug?
I told him not to back into that space.
Was he rucking that day, was he?
And I said, if you come back there, Peter, you're not going to like...
Yeah, but I kept on... what happened? Was I playing on you? Because I kept on telling him to come back, that's all.
And, yeah. No, I'm not one of my prouder moments. The whole team attacked me after I did it. I deserved the 3 weeks.
Did Schwatter fly the flag for you?
Schwatter was in there, actually, if I remember rightly.
Talking about big hits, Jay-Z, Travis Cloak, what's the latest on him and that big hit that he copped from Jack Zeeble? You could feel that one up in the commentary box.
Yeah, it's a rib cartilage injury, so same as Josh Jenkins from Adelaide. Now, at the moment, it's a bit unclear how long he will be out for specifically, but at the moment, the Dogs are thinking about a month, but it could be more. So it was a very strong hit from Jack Zeeble. There's been mixed opinions on what should happen here in terms of an MRP situation. For me, Howie, I don't know what you guys have seen it just looked like a fair hit. I mean, yes, he got him hard and hit him in the chest area, and it's done some rib damage, but I just think it's one of those traditional footy hits, which is a bit play on. It was after Travis Cloak had kicked it forward, but...
Just
what?
Just after he'd kicked it.
Yeah. So do you think... Yeah, so isn't it a fair footy hit or not, Schwatter?
We're playing footy, which is a combative, aggressive sport. It's part of the nature of our game. It wasn't high. It wasn't overly late. It was in the process of Travis Cloak getting rid of the ball. It was just a body charge. I don't think that I'd be disappointed if Jack Zeeble got any weeks. But remembering a few years ago, I think he got 4 weeks for a high tackle. Is that right?
Yeah, a high bump.
Incident.
Lee Matthews has said that he should get rubbed out for a match or two.
Why?
Because it was rough conduct and sort of excessive force that's injured him. We know the MRP is very sort of outcome based. So
let me ask you this question.
Yep.
If he tackled Travis and he hurt Trav and he's out for 4 weeks, do we suspend a player for that?
No, I wouldn't have thought so.
Well, then how can you suspend somebody for a bump like that?
All right, our next guest. We like to think that people enjoy coming on the Sunday Rub and they want to. This poor fellow this morning has woken up. He's won 2 straight games. He's having his Easter eggs. And then he gets hounded. Hounded on the phone by you, Roosie, to be fair to say. He joins us on the line now. Maybe under duress, but he is the coach of the Fremantle Football Club, Ross Lyon. G'day, Ross. Thanks for joining us. Did you have any choice?
He's getting his pound of flesh, Roosie. I said, mate, his friendship only extends so far.
I tell you, he does love the publicity, Ross Lyon. He seeks it out. You know, he's like Jay-Z. He seeks it out. He just wants to get on the radio. So we just happened to be the first one to ring. Hey, Rossi, well done. Like 2 games in a row. And we sort of talked about it before we got on air, how, I mean, we are a hysterical business, but 2 weeks ago they were going to tear up your 4-year contract and you were going to come and work with us in the box here. So, but in all seriousness, it's been a good turnaround, but it's been on the back of, you know, just some more consistent form, more consistent around the ball, and then obviously some good young kids coming in. But you need your leaders to stand up. I thought Mundy, 3 goals yesterday, and Lachie Neal, 4 goals. So those players are certainly playing some better football as well.
Yeah, no doubt, yeah. I mean, there's a reason they get a fair percentage of salary cap because you expect them to play pretty well. So our leaders have stood up the last couple of weeks, and it's been a couple of simple focuses, really, which is that hit around the ball, like really get after the ball. And we were 18th in the league for tackling 2 weeks ago, 45 and 44. That's not the be-all and end-all, but it's a reasonable indicator of work rate. And, you know, yesterday we laid 73, so in that third quarter we laid 27. You know, we had something like 18 forward 50 tackles. So pressure around the ball helps your defenders look better. They can intercept and run off, and you create some turnovers, and your forwards find themselves in space. So it was a simple, we had that discussion, didn't we, just, off air a couple of weeks ago, and it was just about, hitting around the ball, and when we haven't got it, let's do the hard yards early and try and get it back. And also, we've flowed a little bit more with the ball. There's no doubt about that. You know, just more handball to receives and so on. So it's sort of, a couple of simple focuses that sort of, worked well for the group.
And I think that, Rossi, centre bounces are so important now, aren't they? Because it's one of the few times you get, equal numbers for the ball. I know Melbourne sort of tend to play two back off the square, but they do run in. So, I mean, tell us how critical it is to win that contest, or at least get some scores out of, you know, these centre bounce clearances.
Yeah, well, we didn't. We're solid in there, but Melbourne, I think, kicked four goals out of the middle yesterday. Yep. So before I sat down and got warm in the chair in the last quarter, they kicked two out of the middle. But a few of them can be slow plays, so sometimes it's just not defending well. But getting that ground position, turning the opposition mids around and, you know, making them chase you from the start's handy. And, you know, you can get a good quick goal out of there as well. So teams are scoring. Melbourne scored really quite well out of there. And we've been quite reasonable in there at times. So it certainly helps. There's no doubt about that.
But I just know, I remember last year, Ross, you started off, I don't know, you're horrendous in that area last year. Because once, and you're on the back foot. Yeah, when you're on the back foot from centre bounces, like you said, it's really limiting the damage. But if you're playing a territory game and you lose centre bounces like you did early last year, it can become pretty catastrophic.
Yeah, we weren't scoring. We're getting scored heavily against. This year there's a bit of a balance. We're nailing some and they are. So, it just saps. It's like turnovers in defence. They just sap the will out of your team a little bit as the scoreboard ticks over quite easily against you. So, look, we've worked hard. Anthony Rock and Simon Eastall have worked hard in there. And they've got some good senior players to work with and some good young players like Balich and Blakely going through there. But Aaron gets his hand to the ball a fair bit. You know, but I thought Spencer was really good for Melbourne yesterday. Like, big job, and you know he had quite an effective game as well. So we got some talent in there. There's no doubt, but our coaches have worked hard to make us really competitive in there.
Yeah, Ross. Looking at the game before the game yesterday, given that you've got a new look forward line, and you just mentioned Cam McCarthy, I thought he was pretty solid. Certainly started the game really well, and without Jesse Hogan, I thought it was going to be the team that manufactured goals through the middle of the ground, and you had Lachie Neal who bobbed up and kicked four for you guys, and then at the end of the day that was probably the difference.
Yeah, look, he's a ball magnet. You can put him on the interchange, you still get a kick, Lachie. He just he sort of can figure it out pretty quickly. He's a great little crummer, and actually for his size he's a good mark overhead. So he's the old fashioned footballer, can really find time and space in the footy. And you know, for him to kick four is a bonus. But I thought Mundy going forward, everyone talks about Fife going forward, but Mundy playing forward, you know, he took a great contested mark in the goal square yesterday. And he's great with the ball. Just, you know, having that experience down there and that big body, he's like 193, so he's, you know, just short of power forward size. And, it's certainly helped us. Yeah, we've got plenty of improvement in us. We slaughtered a few chances as they did. There's a few times we had players clear out in space when we kicked it straight to Melbourne. But we think there's some upside now for one. McCarthy, I thought Kirsten played quite well yesterday.
Yep.
That was probably his best game for the club. And McCarthy continues to have shots on goal every week and opportunities. So, yeah, I think we've got some upside there.
Talking about Cam McCarthy, Ross, really happy to see the way he went yesterday. This is a man that sort of up at GWS looked like he'd fallen out of love with footy. You've got so many roles as a modern coach. How do you introduce a bloke like that's had a few issues off the footy field and get him to be embraced by the football club and keep an eye on him yourself, because you've got a lot of people at the footy club that you have to deal with day in, day out, I guess.
Yeah, Cam, I mean, that gets bandied about, that cliche, that falling out of love with footy. Often it's because they're not getting picked. But with him, he was a regular player, and, he was a foil to Cameron and Patton up there with, you know, real big power forwards. But he could find his share. His one was homesickness, really close to his two sisters and mum and dad, and it was as simple as that. And look, to Greater Western Sydney's credit, they tried to sort of hang on to him and work with him. But once they realised that was a legitimate issue, they worked hard with us to get a trade. And he hasn't taken any work at all, to be truthful. He's just come in and hasn't missed a session and trained like an animal. So, but there are those guys on your list. As a coach, we're one of two clubs that have a full-time clinical and sports psychologist, Kim Mercer. And our players can go to her anytime. You know, basically 24/7 can contact her if they've got any personal issues, and she can share them with us if they wish, and then we try and help them. And then you've all got a personal coach that basically has a conversation every day with them. And when things aren't going well, it's my responsibility to check in. I sort of learnt that in Sydney, you know, like as much as John Longmire might have been the forward coach, if Adam Goods was having a rough patch, it was the responsibility of Paul to to hook in and find and spend some time with him. So, you know, it, you share the load, but as a senior coach, sometimes when things go bad, you've got to sort of really roll your sleeves up and hook in with that player.
Rossi, we spoke just briefly before about Harley Bunnell. The club disappointed that he was asked to leave a Virgin flight on Saturday after a few drinks. Have you spoken to Harley? What's been your reaction to this incident?
Yeah, I certainly spoke to Harley. I was made aware of it after the game. He stayed in Melbourne last night. I've read the club statement. My understanding is simply he had already flown from Perth to Melbourne and navigated that flight fine, went to the lounge, went back on, was in business class, sat down, and then was asked to leave. And he got up, grabbed his backpack, and walked off and went to the lounge. So that's exactly my understanding of what occurred. It's unfortunate that it's occurred, but there was no disruption on the flight, on the previous flight, on this flight. But obviously there was some signs of intoxication. He was asked to leave. So that's the basic detail. Look, I still stand by Harley. We always support the person. He's had 60 weeks of rehab where he's been super. Oof. He had a major disappointment last week where it blew up. That's another 10 to 12 weeks. And he looks around and sees the AFL landscape and sees everyone running around and knows what he can do. So he's held himself together really well. Obviously, he's had a bit of a slip, and that's all it seems at the moment. The AFL will work with our club on it. It seems straightforward at this point, but, you know, other than that, I can't comment. But, yeah, we fully support Harley still. He needs to gather himself and come again.
So it's unlikely to be any disciplinary action or anything like that. It's just support from you guys at the moment.
Yeah, well, that's all it is for me at the minute. That the club's released a statement. On the surface, that's what it seems. And But I can't speak for our president and CEO, and they'll work their way through it with Harley, Harley's player manager, Colin Young. My concern is always our support the player and their welfare. But we challenge any behaviour that is not befitting of what we're after.
You said earlier in the week that you're hopeful that he's going to come back and play some footy, or that's the expectation in the back half of this season. Just finally, on that Fife, how did you rate his leadership over the first half of the season? And again, yesterday, obviously a lot of discussion about his contract and his free agency status. Has there been any movement on that front, and how do you think he's travelling?
Okay, so three questions. How's his leadership, out of contract, and how's he travelling? Which one would you like me to answer?
I think he wants you to answer about the contract, Rossi. I'll decipher for you.
Look, he was that thrilled yesterday. He walked off and signed the deal, so got that done post-game. That was fantastic. It's not something I concern myself with. Let the cobblers do the cobbling. He's got a player manager. We have list management. We have Brad Lloyd.
Rusey's nodding with you, Ross, at the moment.
He's leading really well. And in due course, that will just take care of itself, hopefully. And if it doesn't, what we'll do with that then?
Just to lighten things up a little bit, Ross, I know you're a bit of a short back and sides man. Is it a concern that you've got about 12 hair buns in your team running around at the moment? Does that worry you at all?
Well, I think it can't be a reflection of my hairstyle.
How would that have gone in Reservoir, Ross, growing up the bun?
It is remarkable how many buns you've got out there.
Well, we've got some confident young men. So, what you are as a leader, your followers will be. So, I think Fifey started it, and there's a few jumped on board. But, you know, I often say I don't care what the colour of your hair is, you know, what you look like, what you drink. You know, it's a bit about how hard you go and how hard you train. So as long as they're training hard and playing. And I think if we're looking at aesthetics on the last one, they should be commenting. So let's go.
And Ross, just as before we let you go, I know it's important, to quote a famous coach, to let the cobbler do the cobbling. But Rusey, now he's a media star. You're watching him on Fox. You're listening to him on the radio. How do you think he's going?
No, I don't.
I
don't watch any. Let me correct you. I don't watch. I know what's going to be said. No, I don't watch.
So you can't comment on his media performance in 2017?
No, but I can say he does look haggard. He does look haggard. Oh, he needs to come early at night.
How good was he in terms of advice, Rossi, when you called him? I said 2 weeks ago after a rough loss.
When I called him, he called me. Yeah. clarify.
He called you. Just inserting himself into the story.
He said, what was I this week on the lab? Yeah, look, it's great to have a resource, you know. Like, very fortunate. Leadership, an AFL coach can be a lonely place at times, but that's okay. But it's nice to have a support network, and Paul certainly sits in that. He gave me a wonderful opportunity as an assistant coach at Sydney, and without his support and guidance over the years, there's no doubt I wouldn't have been a senior coach. So, look, I'm forever grateful, and to have that continuing support is really important for me.
Ross, we really appreciate your time. Looking forward to your upcoming show at the Melbourne Comedy Festival, and maybe Fremantle will continue along on their winning ways.
Thank you.
Great to speak to Ross Lyon. He's just one of the great interviews in modern football, your mate, Roosie, because Jay-Z was asking him some tough questions, but he has an entertaining spin, he has an open spin, and he throws in a nice few cliches like the cobbler swatter one. You always appreciate.
He did like that one.
Yeah, look, full credit to the coaches now, Jay-Z. I think most of them are really honest, and I think sometimes we do get a bit cynical when they probably protect the player, maybe the rib thing dark or something like that. But I think generally, not that I watch them often, but when I see a coach interviewed after a game, I generally feel like they're really honest with the fans. They talk about the game really openly and honestly. And I think, to their credit, they take that position really seriously.
Just to pick up on his point, I think, I'd love to be corrected on this. Ross did say that they're one of only two clubs that has a full-time psychiatrist or psychologist available to the playing group. At Melbourne, did you have one?
Yeah, we did, yeah. I mean, when he talks about full-time, I'm presuming what he means there, that they're actually employed wholly and solely by the football club. Yeah.
Do you reckon the game needs that down now, though?
Well, to be fair, the players are only there for 3.5 days. Mm. So every club, well, I would think every club would have a psychologist. We had a psychologist who is available, to the players at any particular time. But his point around being a full-time employee, majority of them, I would think, would be employed by the club, and then they have their own business on the side, or not on the side. They'd run their own business, and the clubs practice. Would employ them. So I reckon the access to from players as well to psychologists, and also the Players Association provided also. So in answer to your question, yes, you would hope that there is unlimited access, and I think so there should be.
I just reckon it's one area that the industry is still slow to take up, and to make sure that we don't only train the players to be good athletes under pressure on the ground, but we've got enough resources at football clubs that support players through challenging times. And that can be as simple as not getting a kick, as Ross said, but there's plenty of other things that cause players to have some concerns. And that really came home to roost watching the SBS Insights program during the week, that, players are and athletes across the board are struggling.
So what do you deal in this space a lot? And I know you're going to deal a lot more in it because you're starting an operation, which we look forward to having a discussion about at some stage on the Sunday Rub. The modern footballer, is the days of, you're not going to go and see a psych, you're weak, etc., etc. Is that gone out of the modern game?
I think they're a different breed now, Roosie. I think that they're more open to those type of things, but I still think that there's a percentage of a perception out there that it's still weak to ask for help. That's fundamentally flawed. I think it, just like, I'm struggling for a kick, I go and talk to a teammate. I'm struggling to get a kick, what can I do, Duck? He'll have a chat, I can go to the coach, I can talk to him. I don't direct this at any one football club, but you see the amount of investment into football departments and medical teams, and deservedly so. But there's one team today playing that only recently employed a part-time psych into their football club. Now, if we've got a medical team and a physical conditioning team of about 10 to 15 people, but we don't have a full-time person there to help players with a whole host of different issues, I'd love to see some of that football spin get redirected into an area where players have resources for on and off field issues.
That's a great point, because how often do we hear the cliche that 90% of the game is above the shoulders, Roosie?
Yeah, look, I know at Sydney and Melbourne we spend a lot of time on it. We touched on it, Soto and I spoke during the week about this concept around meditation, which we've talked a little bit about here. I mean, the mind and the ability to control the mind and calm the mind, visualization, meditation, even like Soto would talk about, even getting on the bike and riding for 100 k's, going for a run, Duck, around the tan, these things. And it's more around this concept of well-being, and everything. I think footy clubs are now gradually moving into that space, Swatter. Mm. You know, to be fair to the footy clubs, when I first started, yeah, it was hard to do any, you know, you get down there at 5:30, you train, everything was measurable, how fast you'd run around the town, and it was survival of the fittest. Now, the footy clubs are much better at being aware of the physical and the mental, and so they should, but there's got to be more discussion, particularly for men, and Swatter and I touched about it, and we're looking at, you know, I'm looking at doing something towards the end of the year around this for you know, for that 18 to 30-year-old guy, because if you eat well, you exercise, you meditate, you visualise, whatever it might be, you're going to be healthier and happier. And it's certainly something that players are much better at talking yeah. about, Swatter, but we can certainly get better at it.
I remember Anthony Stewart, one of the great sports psychologists, coming down to North Melbourne. And I'm not sure if you remember this, Duck, but he came in and he got 45, 50 guys to lay down on the floor and they tried to darken it as much as he could, and there was a lot of murmuring and giggling, and there was a hell of a lot of farting and burping going on. It wasn't warmly received, fair to say, the first time Dennis Pagan brought Anthony Stewart down there.
When, you mentioned right. round two, when does the Sunday Rub meditation class start? You were meant to join us together as a group. And
we're
going to
have a session with Roosie and Tammy, the yoga instructor.
When?
We're going to have a dedicated session during the
week. Weekend resort.
Why don't we?
During the buy round.
Yeah, during the buy round.
Well, that's something
round.
To look yep. forward to.
Duck's already nodding off.
Typical different to Duck's normal buy weekend, that one, I think. The Saints are out on the ground under the roof at Etihad Stadium Easter Sunday. The Pies have done a warm-up there back in the sheds. Unfortunately, this man is not out in the middle. It's disappointing for the Saints, but good for us because he gets to join us in the box. Jack Stephen. Hello, Jackie boy.
Hey, what's happening?
Great to see you. How's your Easter? You got back down to Lawn yesterday, checked out the surf. Did you watch a bit of local footy? How good's local footy, by the way?
Yeah, it's great. I haven't been back there for a little couple of years, but it was a big crowd down at Lawn, so loved it.
Why aren't you playing football at the moment?
Just my lung is should be sweet next week. So, I reckon, so.
How's that treat? You expecting to be back next week?
Yeah, so I was lucky. Didn't break any ribs or anything. So saw a specialist last week and they said just give it one more week and then should be sweet.
How hard was it? Because clearly you did it just before the final siren. How long before the final siren? Because you continued to play, didn't you?
Yeah, so probably about 10 minutes before. Yep. But I played, but I didn't go near the ball.
Yeah.
How hard was it to breathe?
Just hard. Just couldn't breathe? Is that
yeah,
what it was?
And when I was running, it felt like something was bouncing in my chest, and it was just like a piercing sort of pain. So.
And at no stage you didn't think about coming off the ground at that point, Jack?
Well, the doctor told me it was just a corky.
So I was like, who's the doctor
corky
down
the lung.
There?
Cork lung.
You've just got a knock. I'm like, oh, it feels
at some stage,
bad.
I think when something's bouncing around in the chest, it might be time to overrule the doctor.
Was that Stoney, was it?
Yeah, no, this was Tim Barber. Oh, okay. So
name the bloke. Yeah, yeah. I'm laid him out.
Just on that, I saw the vision when you came back. You obviously spent the night in Adelaide and you came back on the airport. What about the dress attire coming through the airport? I thought you looked like a hobo.
Yeah. I've just been in hospital for a couple of days.
You just didn't take enough clothes over there?
Did you have the hospital ropes still on there?
Probably not my best outfit.
Real sort of weird get-up it was.
Duck, he's got half his lung hanging out. You're chipping the poor fella because he's wearing a pair of tracksuit pants.
Now, Jack, I love the way you guys have built your game over the last two or three years. I think with Richo... And I always believe you build it inside out. You know, you're really hard and tough around the ball. Is that something that you spend a lot of time working on, or are you sort of past that level now and trying to add layers to your game?
I don't think we'll ever go past it, but yeah, I think that's, like you said, that's what we've sort of built our game on and sort of pride ourselves on the tackling and contested ball side of things. But yeah, we've obviously got to get a little bit more outside and a bit more creative as well. But, yeah, that would always be like our foundation, I think.
Yeah, I think that's the base of your game. I guess the next level is to do that consistently and then to add some layers. I suppose that's the trick I see for St Kilda, because when that drops off, you do struggle to win, because perhaps that running half back or whatever it is. What are the things that Richo's now... I mean, obviously, you're going to continue to do that, which you need to, but what are the other things you feel like you need to do a bit better to sort of elevate your game to another level?
Yeah, I think this is just my thoughts personally, just a bit of ball movement, just get a bit cleaner, and then just capitalise with our inside 50 kick, make a few easier shots, and we'll just get just purely more goals. So, hopefully we can... Help get that sorted.
Tell us a bit about Nick Riewoldt, mate. I mean, I get a chance to run into him occasionally down at Brighton. He's an absolute fantastic fella. But just to play with him for so long, I mean, he's just an exceptional player and person.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. I think that's the best thing about him. Like, he's a superstar, but he's just a really nice guy as well. And really approachable, and I'm pretty happy to call him a good friend, and that's the best thing about him. Like, he's a great player, but a great dad as well.
Given you're one of the leaders of the footy club, and I know you're not playing, but I'm sure you would have been involved in how you're going to go about breaking down Collingwood's midfield today. I mean, you look at how they've Treloar, Pendlebury, side bottom, they have been absolutely brilliant in and around the footy. How are you going to go about slowing those guys down?
Yeah, I think the thing that we were watching their highlights, and Treloar just breaking out of the front of the stoppage and going inside 50 and stuff. So we'll try and stop that. And then I think, obviously, like if our mids get on top, I think we should go a long way to winning the game. So that's a big battle in there. So wish I was out there for that one.
Jack, the Sean Debster news came out of the blue, I think, for most of us in the footy community. Did you know that he had been struggling with this concussion issue, or that was weighing on his mind throughout the pre-season or even last year?
Not to the extent of the details, but you sort of know a few of the boys have had a few head knocks and sort of stuff, but only the ones really closest to him probably. I didn't know personally all the details, but I just knew a little bit.
And was it a surprise to you that he wasn't picked in the round one team? Or do you think that sort of former selection issue played any part in his decision to retire from the game?
No, I think he cleared that up a couple of weeks ago now, so it had no real part in it. So, yeah.
It was just purely the concussion worry?
Yeah. And the thing that I didn't know at the time, but in the paper when he said he was a bit worried about picking up his daughter, that sort of hit home to me pretty much, I think. So.
And just on that, Jack, we touched on it before with, I don't know, heard about the Harley Bunnell story about the plane, but just more around the player welfare, something we discussed for sort of 15 minutes. And, probably people out there don't realise how well the players are looked after. You know, there's sports psych, there's the player welfare. So maybe just run through the line of command. If you're a young player, I suppose you've got the mentoring of a senior player, but there's plenty of opportunities for young players now to get their point across in the footy club, and also that health and well-being within football clubs has probably never been better.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's all about looking after the player pretty much these days, so it's not as ruthless as it would have been in the old days. So we've got, like you said, Sykes. We've got, like, Tony Brown is our like sort of off-field coordinator guy that he just pretty much looks on all your stuff outside of footy, and he's really caring and a legend. And then obviously right through, all the coaches and stuff are really into you, what you're doing outside of footy, and like whether you got girlfriend and all that sort of stuff. So everyone's right on top of it these days.
How's that side of things going for you, Jack? You all right there?
Yeah, got a lovely girlfriend. Yeah,
so. How long's she been on the scene for?
A while now.
More than 2 years?
Yeah, more than two. Expecting a baby in September. So
well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Are you married?
Nah.
You need to sort that out before the baby comes along or
yeah.
not?
Yeah. No, we won't, sir.
Okay. Hey, just another question. There's always a lot made of the high draft picks, mate. This is a bit more of a serious one. Paddy McCartney's been written about in the paper today. Obviously, he's not in the side today. How's Paddy going? You see him day in, day out. You see him on the training track. And we wouldn't be talking about this if he wasn't such a high draft pick. But unfortunately, or fortunately, he is, mate.
Yeah. No, I'm a big supporter of Paddy. I reckon he's going to be a star. So we see him, like you said, every day. And I'm really happy with his progress, I think. As a young player, like, it took me a while, like 30 or 50 games just to feel comfortable, get used to the routine. Like, the AFL is so much different to the VFL. The VFL, you just rock up and sort of just go out and do your thing. There's a lot more hoo-ha and everyone's up and about more in the AFL. So just getting used to that and feeling more comfortable, and then he'll be sweet. He'll go out there and he'll tear a game apart pretty soon.
I look forward to that. I really do.
Sitting up in the stands last week, you saw Joey in the goal square, had a little bit of time, took the little bounce, saw Richo's reaction. Obviously, he didn't know what he was doing at the time, since had it explained to him. What did you think watching that when you saw Joey? Well, we now know that he was taking a little bit of time off the clock.
I was thinking only Joey could do that. He's got that many theories with footy, and he's a very, very smart guy with all the footy stuff. And I just laughed at Richo's reaction. I didn't see that till I got home, but that's pretty funny, I thought.
Jackie, before we let you go, congratulations. You've got a little one on the way. I know you like a surf trip or two, the Mentawais. Have you got another one of those squeezed in before the baby comes? Because I can tell you, with a young child, 10 days in the Mentawais, Ducky, as you now know with a little one, never that easy to organise.
Yeah, so I'll make sure that they stay routine, I think. You've got to do them each off-season. So.
See, this is a man that's not a father yet. He thinks it's still going to happen, but things will change very quickly.
And with the baby due in September, Jack, you have to work out the planning there. I mean, if it pops on a weekend, you could be playing in a big final. You might have a big decision to make there, mate.
Yeah, so hopefully we will be playing in the final. So hopefully I will have that decision to make, yeah, but we'll wait and see.
Hey, Jack, really good to have a chat with you, mate. Hopefully that lung's up and ready and the Saints will be up next week. Who you got next week? Geelong, Hawthorne, GWS. So you got a really important 3 weeks, so it'll be good to see you out there for all of them.
Beautiful. Thanks, boys.
Great to have a chat to Jack Stephen. Shut up. The footy's on Triple M. Triple M rocks footy.